We have hands up. Trevor, go ahead.
Thank you so much for the report and the work. It's a huge lift with the whole team over the last couple of years. Do you have in front of you the percentage increase of the youth ridership since the youth cruise free?
Yeah, the last quarter was, I think, 145%. I think that's in the report. That's quarter over quarter.
Okay. And do you know the overall? Sorry, I'm not recalling the report right now.
The overall number of youth?
No, sorry. 145% increase last quarter. That's
quarter over quarter. So quarter.
Okay.
So quarter two over quarter two. When we first launched, it was, 300% because now we're measuring back to a quarter where we already had youth cruise free, and it continues to grow phenomenally.
Okay, great. Yeah. I mean, I hear really, really great things about it. And I think this is so important for the future of ridership because this is the next generation and we're shifting the paradigm. We're shifting how people look at buses, I think throughout our community, but with young people riding and then talking it up. I mean, the city hosted a community meeting on Monday focused on youth well-being and it's came up. It's just what a shift it's been over the last couple of years. So thank you. Thank you.
And to take on that, and I mentioned in the budget meeting, but I personally know a young man who's bounced from foster home to foster home and is still really doing wonderful things, been on the Cabrillo Senate and doing really overcoming obstacles. But the only way he could have done that is the youth ride free. And that's a face that I see the impact on his life and someone I think is going to do good things in the future. I'll know Metro had a part of it. Thank you.
Mike?
Thank you. It's quite impressive, actually, the increase that we've been able to make happen. I appreciate all the staff that made that possible. I wonder when we're going to get maybe our next report on how we're going to try and market. I mean, we've done marketing, obviously, but there's a lot more service out there. And I don't know that the public is all really aware of it. So I'm thinking of all these people that live along Soquel Avenue and not necessarily all of the west side, 18 and 19, but other places, how we might do more to get the word out there that you can take the bus every 15 minutes all day, till 9 o'clock, and then it's 30 minutes. It seems to me like marketing really could make a difference here. It was available, and I don't think the public really gets how enormous this is.
Yeah, I mean,
are we going to get a report back at some point on what we're doing to market all this?
Danielle is unfortunately sick today, but I know we have something like 100 events planned throughout the summer, tabling and others. So there is a plan to be out there.
Raised her.
Oh, good.
Thanks.
Save me.
Hello, can you hear me?
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, as John mentioned, we do have over 60 events planned this year to try to get the word out. And we're also working on some advertising campaigns. We also have the new bus shelters out. So we'll be looking to put advertisements on those new bus shelters. And then we also conducted a ridership survey recently and are targeting 1,000 respondents to try to get their feedback on service and how they would like to receive communications so that we can market specifically to them.
Thank you.
Thanks. I guess a question for Danielle while you're unmuted. What amount of our marketing budget would be for social media?
What total amount is dedicated to social media?
Yeah.
Right now, it's not too much dedicated to social media. We primarily do a lot of organic social media, so just generic posts. When we were doing Reimagine Metro, we did do some paid advertising campaigns. I would say it was probably only 5% of our overall marketing budget, but it did pretty well. And then we did also incorporate print ads into those too. So we're trying to do it more of an organically than paid subscription, but we have done both for Reimagine. And they've actually had really good success rates.
Yeah, I bet they did. I mean, I would actually suggest that we spend more. I mean, in my own experience, I've seen social media be pretty cost effective as far as paid advertising goes, and particularly the fact that we can geo-target extremely specifically to the urban area where those customers are more likely to be using. Plus, it's probably our two biggest likely segments of the population that would adopt or start writing, right? Youth on, say, Instagram maybe more seniors on Facebook these days. But, both excellent target groups for us. So anyway, just a suggestion there. As far as the Youth Ride Free program, I mean, in general, I absolutely share the enthusiasm, and this has just been an extremely successful program. I'm really excited about it as well. My question is, when we look at the ridership data, how much of that increase is from Reimagine Metro versus Youth Cruise Free? I mean, obviously there's some synergies there, but can we see like when we started Youth Cruise Free, what bump we saw there, and versus Reimagine Metro? And maybe, I mean, my inclination is like, well, maybe more of the bump we're seeing is from Youth Cruise Free than Reimagine Metro.
Yeah, I can go back and tease those numbers out, but we know that about 60% of our boardings currently are university students, so both UCSC and Cabrillo. 20% is Youth Cruise Free, and 20% is everybody else. That 20% of Youth Cruise Free was about 10% before Reimagine Metro, so it's jumped. So 10% of our total ridership is this growth in Youth Cruise Free.
I mean, and then more recently, it seems like, at least for phase two, we're seeing 11%, 14% increase in ridership. So does that mean like 10% of that is essentially Youth Cruise Free and only 1-4%?
Yeah, it's too much math for me to do in my head. I don't want to speak out, but we can go back and look at the trends and see what the growth by component of ridership is over time.
I think maybe it was 14% in the summer and then 11% fall as far as the increases we've seen. I mean, do you feel like we're hitting diminishing returns, or is it just, again, maybe as was mentioned, maybe people aren't as aware of the service, we need to do more outreach? What are the thoughts on how this could, or people just need to understand that the service is available? What are your thoughts on how this continues to roll out?
Yeah, it's hard to tease everything out completely, right? Part of what we're seeing is post-COVID recovery, right? But on top of that, we've added Reimagine Metro. Typically, a good rule of thumb for the return you'd see on service is about 50%. So if you increase service 100%, you might see a 50% return on ridership. There's been quarters when we've done much better than that. Like the first quarter of Reimagine Metro, 23% growth. We didn't add any revenue hours. So, we got infinity increase, right? Other quarters have not done as well. I think currently, though, there's probably a lag between all the service we've added beginning in June. This, the biggest piece of it being the high frequency corridor between Wattsville and Santa Cruz, the 15-minute Route 1. We didn't really see a jump in the summer in that ridership. It stayed mostly flat at Route 1, suggesting that we hope, people are learning about it and adjusting. It takes time to adjust your travel patterns to new service. Then, though, more recently, and we'll bring this in the next quarter, we're seeing a growth currently in this quarter, just anecdotally, I'll tell you, January, February, March in Route 1 ridership. So it looks like people are adjusting to that new frequency. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to tease out. We, want to run the service for at least a year before we make any kind of conclusions about how it's doing. But the growth that we've seen to date has been really encouraging, right? Every quarter there's been a growth. Whether or not it's, this, actually, we are meeting it. So just by that general metric of you get a return of 0.5, we've increased service 30%, and we're still seeing a 15% growth quarter over quarter. So we're kind of hitting it as the best we could to date. But I think these other things like marketing and outreach and time really will tell.
Yeah, and I think actually our best marketing opportunity will probably be in June, July when the Soquel Drive project is done. We're going to have a shiny new, you know, surface of on the road, some green bike lanes, and it'll be a great opportunity to explain how much better the bus is running on Soquel as well. It'd be worth timing our marketing efforts for full summer.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Oh, one other factor I think that would probably help is reliability. It's great to increase the hours and for folks to know about it, but if they don't have a good experience because of buses not being there, I think that can be impactful. And we see in the KPI reports that the pass ups or the missed service is a concern. On that note, you mentioned restoration at some point of the 16 and 90X that is somewhat reliant on having more maintenance capacity. I think the budget proposes maybe three more mechanics in the new fiscal year. I assume it'll take time to actually get them on board and up. I don't know if mechanics are the only constraint or if there's also space or other constraints. But I guess first question is, do you have any way of forecasting when you think that maintenance capacity will have been increased to allow for restoration of service growth?
So we're still targeting fall. We have been able to hire one new mechanic. We did a recruitment to try to get all three. We've got one so far. There are space and other constraints, but the main constraint is mechanics, really, we think. We've actually gone back through 40 years of data, and when Metro was at its kind of height of service, there were many more mechanics we had on staff, but similar facilities. So we think that's the main issue, but recruiting is still an issue. And there may be other things that we do within the plan. So as we analyze the ridership, if there's, you know, service improvements that we've made that aren't really responding at all, then it's possible that we consider adjusting those to create space for the 16 and 90X. Because that was, throughout the outreach, were repeatedly important to people.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I'll just note that while the overall growth, it's really phenomenal. It's very impressive. The quarter-to-quarter decline at UCSC is surprising and concerning. And I know we talked about it a little bit the other day. Another report notes there were two strike days, which was the Thursday and Friday before Thanksgiving break, which I'm sure had some impact. But relative to the overall growth, you would have still expected there to be an increase in ridership at UCSC. So I think that's where there's opportunity, whether it's through marketing, and that's certainly a population I imagine that social media might be able to help with. And I think we've talked about maybe some joint communications between the campus and Metro. But I mean, it's gone from 60% of the ridership last year to 55% of the ridership. And that's where obviously a lot of ridership, latent and potential ridership is. So welcome any other thoughts you have on why that decline may have happened, and certainly anything we can do to partner with you to get that number going back in the right direction.
Yeah, I do think the two strike days played into that. Also, having to drop service on Route 16 in December definitely played into that during the quarter. Although I will say that, as we've talked, UCSC ridership recovery has lagged versus other segments. You know, local non-student youth obviously is going through the roof because of Youth Cruise Free. Cabrillo ridership is way up. So there's something else happening on the campus of more people driving or, you know, some other mix of how people are getting to and from the campus that is also playing into that lag in recovery. Yeah. Oop.
Which also then adds to the congestion, which makes it harder for the metro right. buses to get in and through the campus. So it's a negative reinforcing cycle.
Yeah. And you mentioned the congestion. We are running slower. Like, we see that in the data, not just UCSC, but throughout the county, Highway 1, Soquel, now with the Murray Street Bridge closure. I mean, our buses are moving much slower throughout the county.
I had a couple of comments. If you remember previous meeting, one of the the parents talked about increased independence of their child who is able to ride the bus for free and how they're not having to provide rides. And I just wanted to let you know, I keep hearing that from parents. And I think that that particular behavior is going to increase because the less parents who have to drop their kids off, the traffic improves. Now taking the bus, the kids learn independence and they learn that this is a great way to get around.
Yep.
You don't need a car. So I hope that that just keeps continuing. Also, after Corey had some articles and discussed publicly what happened with our not expansion of service last year, I think when the public hears what's going on and what we're trying to accomplish, they say, oh, okay, I totally get it. What can I do? You know, how can I help or cheer you on? I think when people understand what the situation is, and it's a very complicated puzzle of pieces that has created this situation that's temporary. Like I told Margo, we should be putting stickers on the buses that have hit a million miles so that people see, you know, we're working on this for you. And I think, you know, how, you know, when you're just sitting in traffic and you don't know what's going on and then you see the lights up ahead, you go, oh, okay, there's been an accident. I get it. I'll just, you know, I'll be patient and try to sit. So yeah. I don't know how we provide that, you know, in a social media world. The kids that are reading, you know, the Instagram posts and stuff, I think the stuff that's there is great. Especially the video of the guys taking the bus to Nicey Marks. That just was awesome. I just loved it. And we got a lot of positive response from that. And it, you know, it's a difficult thing to try to do to let people know about this expanded service in social media. So I'm sure Danielle will figure out, she's already done so much, but I think that that's a good idea to continue to let people know. Because if our riders are all young, you know, majority of them are younger, where is it that they're getting this information? Because it's possibly not the Sentinel or other, you know, mainstream Facebook. And, you know, there's other places they're looking for. So we just have to let them know there. And they may not think about it very much. They're just going to the bus stop, get their ride. So it's maybe informing their parents just as much as letting them know. Yes.
Could I just want to really reinforce and support that point that you made, because I've heard the same feedback from students, both for your service and ours, that if they understand why service may not be what they would expect, both generally, you know, our fleet is aging, we're working on it, you may see disruptions in service, particularly real time when a bus drops, they're going to be much more understanding and, you know, maybe much less likely to just walk away from Metro and give up. So I think it's a really important point. Communication, even if it's not good news, but just letting folks know the reality, I think it would really help retain ridership. I think it's an excellent point.
We'll just put you there at the bus stop with a sign. You just rotate about what's going on. Avian.
Yes, I have a question. So Youth Ride Free, is there a source of funding for that to continue that service? And is that money going to run out at one point and then youth have to go ahead and pay a fee again when they get on the bus?
So currently we're using what's called LCTOP, low carbon transit. I don't know. LCTOP. It's a state funding for zero emission transportation. So we're using that funding. We have it secured through fiscal year 27 at this point. It's pretty much available every year. We decide or we propose what we're going to use it for. You know, a couple of years ago, we used it for the Watsonville Circulator. So depending on priorities, it should be something that's available to continue to fund the program.
And do you have like a time limit when you're like, okay, we're going to run out of this funding. What do we do now? Do we start writing grants again to get more funding? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I said, maybe it's FY26. I forget if it's 26 or 27. But yeah, as we're budgeting for the next year's program.
Yeah, because I seen the riders from Aptos High School to Watsonville, and that bus is packed. We're packed like sardines in there sometimes because I come from New Leaf Market in Aptos and, wow, yeah, and Watsonville High School and Barrow High, mm-hmm. Barrow Valley High School. So yeah, thank you.
Great. Well, we'll take public comment now.